You are listening to the Experience Points podcast for the week of November 4th, 2020, and it's your best boys. Very good boys. Oh.
I'm George Alborth.
My name is Scott Juster.
We're the co-creators of ExperiencePoints.net, a serious but not humorous conversation about video games. We are recording this podcast before a very important day in America.
Yep.
Who knows how it'll turn out? I'm hoping good, but maybe not. Maybe the world is a dumpster fire.
Wait, we're talking about the return of the McRib, right?
That's, oh God, I wish. Are you kidding me? The fated return. We are talking today about a subject that we hope will bring some comfort in these trying times.
Yeah, I mean, like for us, it's like Monday night, so we just got to like not think about things and we'll see you next week.
Yes, exactly right. That topic is petting the dog. Here's the great thing about petting dogs in video games, everybody. Mm-hmm. Yours truly, I am very allergic to dogs.
Same.
Both Scott and I are cursed with an inability. Look, I want to pet dogs. Don't get me wrong. I love dogs. People think I hate dogs because I don't want to be around their pets, but it's because they literally cause me pain and suffering when I'm near them. I have gone to such lows and or highs where I have put on like surgical gloves to pet dogs. I have used plastic bags. Some dogs are okay with that. Some dogs are very not okay with that. In an attempt to pet the dog. But over the years, more and more so, petting dogs in video games is increasingly possible.
I feel like we have not done the math, but I feel like if we can appeal to the official @CanYouPetTheDog Twitter handle, I bet whoever runs that could potentially start crunching the numbers and figuring out the trajectory of like games per year where you can pet the dog.
It has to be on the upswing. Question.
You know, has to be.
I mean, I know for a fact some developers have patched in dog petting technology,
right,
in order to meet the demand of petting said dog. And in fact, I bet you there are quite a few developers out there who had no dog in their roadmap. And we're like, you know what? We're going to have to get a dog. We're getting, look, the fans.
Cyberpunk was delayed because they needed to pet the dog.
Exactly. Oh my God. That'd be so funny. I'll bet you $1,000 that there's a dog in Cyberpunk and you can pet it.
I mean, there better be, or else they just need to delay that to 2021. Come on.
What are you doing? I mean, we know what we want, okay? And it's to pet the dog.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk a little bit about dog petting, why people like it, why it's important, I guess. What is the deal with these mundane mechanics? And then maybe come up with some of our own.
Yeah. The you know, can I blank the blank, think is a good mechanic to go down. I feel like this is, to your point, I feel like the dog stuff specifically is a very modern thing.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe what, like Fable or something? I mean, I'm trying to think of the genesis of the modern
like the OG
doggo.
Well, so I know that the Can You Pet the Dog Twitter handle started because of The Division 2, which had a lot of dogs in it, of which you could pet none of them. And it was an exacerbated, like, I cannot pet this dog.
Right.
What's the deal? Do not put a dog in it if I can't pet it. You know what I love about that first ingenious idea is the way that it just makes so much sense within the way we talk about video games and affordances, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do not put a door handle if I cannot open the door, right?
Yeah.
Don't put a steering wheel if the steering wheel doesn't work that way. There's certain things that games communicate visually and in their design that makes me want to interact with the world in a particular way. If there's a gun, I will shoot it.
Yeah.
In the same way that if there's
Chekhov's
a dog. Yeah, I must be able to pet it.
I feel like, yeah, I'm trying to think of some of the earlier ones. Like I'm sure there, you know, there's like historical, you know, there must be some obscure, you know, NES game or whatever that I'm not thinking about. But like,
was there a dog really in Zork?
I wonder. There must be, right? I mean, I guess I should have looked up famous dogs in video games, but where the point is to not stress out about this podcast, so I didn't do any research. Because there was also, like I said, because Fable had that dog, right? Like that was a big thing. Yeah.
Oh, there was Nintendogs.
Oh my God, that game was just fully about petting dogs.
All you would do is pet the dog. Yeah, yeah.
That's almost, I feel like that's almost counter to the spirit of the meme, though, because the whole point is there a dog in this game about things that aren't specifically about having about a dog in the game?
Yeah.
Whereas Nintendogs is like, oh my God, wouldn't it be the most Nintendo thing in the world if you couldn't pet the dog?
Nintendogs, sorry. That'd be so funny. Is there, you know what would be nice actually is if they came out with like a Labo dog so you could just pet the dog in real life and then in the video game you pet it.
There is a Labo game that it's the house. It's a little cardboard house that you make and there's some weird little, I mean, I've asked Sam what it is and he goes back and forth on it. Sometimes it's a mouse, sometimes it's a cat. Like there's some weird little creature that you can feed and you can pet it like by using the touchscreen.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. So, check that one off. But I think your point, though, create a cardboard dog, pet that one, have it respond.
Exactly, yeah. Pet that dog and have it respond, yeah. I mean, finally,
a dog that doesn't make me itchy.
Re-release Nintendogs using Labo, you know?
Create your dogs, pet your dogs.
Create your dogs, pet your dogs. I also really enjoy that there's this sort of unspoken sense of we all love dogs, therefore we should be allowed to pet them in the game. Like it's not just like a mundane silly thing that is communicating something. We all love dogs. You don't see people demand like I must feed the fish. If there's a fish in the game, why can't I feed it?
Why
you know?
I do it?
Yeah, like there's a, but it's just dogs transcend in their just beauty and charm and endless supply of love for human beings. We just want to pet them, all of them, even the fake ones.
I mean, I think that's probably why in a video game context, it's always extremely divisive when there is, Resident Evil style murderous dogs or, the Call of Duty. There's
Call
always
of Duty
dogs.
Is the classic. Yeah. Because you're shooting people's dogs. Yeah.
Or remember in The Last of Us 2, the dog that, Abby and what's his face had.
Yeah.
I actually thought that was very funny to see. I mean, not funny that you had to murder that dog, but it was funny that they bothered to give that dog a backstory in the flashback.
Yeah. Yeah. It's because they knew, people love dogs. This is how we'll get them.
And so you see it like learning how to play fetch and you're doing a bunch of stuff and then flash forward again and you're murdering it.
Can you pet Red 13 in the new Final Fantasy remake? I don't think you can.
I don't think so. It would probably be considered condescending to him.
To pet a sentient dog?
Since he's sapient or whatever. Yeah, exactly.
That's a great question. I mean, would you be insulted if an alien race was like, oh, how cute, and like pet you behind the ears? I feel like I would really enjoy that.
So some omnipotent Q-like being comes and we are just pets to them, basically?
Yeah, they're like, oh, wow, like, oh, you're so smart. Hey, you, we have technology. We have spaceships, too. And it's like, oh, cute.
I mean, maybe if it's like, hey, if you're our ticket out of this hellhole, then like, great. Yeah. Where do I sign up?
I also really love that since the Can You Pet the Dog meme has become just a design must, there are designers that are like amping it up. Like developers will add in increasingly complex petting routines. Like it's no longer sufficient just to like pat the dog on the nose or something. I was looking at animations on the Twitter account from like Monster Hunter and stuff where you're just getting in there, you know, you're like shaking it on the side, you're like scratching it behind the ear, you're like looking at its tail, you know, like before long it's just gonna be full-on best in show routines, you know, with every game.
Could you pet the dog in the Call of Duty game where the dog was like one of the main, like you could pick the dog up. Remember the dog got injured at some point?
That's right. Yeah. That doesn't count as petting though.
Yeah. I don't know if it was like a, I think the meme is that It has to be a full-on mechanic that you can partake in that isn't scripted.
Right. Yeah.
I'm trying to think of other ones that I've recently played.
I saw that it's not a dog, but the cat. They added a cat to the Miles Morales Spider-Man. Did you see this?
Oh, no. So for the new expansion or whatever that they're doing?
So yeah. The cat will be in your backpack while you're fighting. What? And there are certain, and there are finishers where the cat will come out and help you. Like, it'll punch other people for you. So cool, dude. Like, that is next level pet involvement.
This has just turned into, like, some weird anime fighter or something where, like, you know, you're special or something pops out and, you know, that's so strange. Does he have a cat in the comic books or is this a...
Miles? I think he does, but I don't know. That's a good question.
Hmm.
What's funny, though, is I don't think that we can jump the shark. There is no jumping the shark of petting dogs because there's never a moment where you're like, I have pet this dog too much, you know? Like, I have maximized my petting of this dog.
Did you see that we started off from the Polygon article that was talking about this meme and they were interviewing Greg Kasavin from Supergiant about, you know, you have to add in the Cerberus thing. And he was talking about, like, well, we could only devote so much time to it because we needed to do other animations, but, like, we knew we needed to do it. It's just so funny to think that was on their whiteboard somewhere where it's like, got to get to the dog petting. It's like this intricate game of, you know, thousands of different mechanics. They're like, got to sweat the dog petting mechanic.
Do you feel bad, though? Like, there's real dollars going into it. There's an animator, you know, who's petting the dog. And there's no doubt in my mind that, you know, before a PR event, they go like, hey, is dog petting in it yet?
Because is dog petting ready? Like,
we need the press to talk about the dog petting, you know? That's like, that is a key selling point.
I think the you know, the bonus should have been, you know, if you can upgrade your social link with Cerberus, you could pet its other heads, you know?
Yeah.
Some sort of bonus for the truly dedicated dog
or
friends.
Ride him.
Yeah. Please, please, please. He's not a beast of burden. He's a guardian of Hades.
The other reason I really enjoy petting dogs in video games is because it also just feels like one of those things that makes the world seem alive and real, you know? Yeah. Like, and it is in those mundane things that you can add that sense of authenticity, you know?
Right.
Because if it wasn't for that, if you couldn't pet the dog in Hades, what is Cerberus other than just like a big imposing flat character, you know?
Right.
To say I want to pet the dog is also to say, like, I want to interact with the world in a realistic way, even when the reason I'm interacting with it is pointless, you know?
Yeah.
Like, yes. When you're walking down the street during the fall or winter and you go out of your way to crunch a leaf,
yeah,
like, you're just doing it for the pure joy of it, you know?
Right.
If someone were to animate that, add the sound effect, and put that in a first-person game, Leave Crunching Simulator 2021, I think it does add that positive feedback because the very act of doing the mundane is to bring the world to life.
Right. It's an immersion technique that comes at a... It's funny, too, because there are certain things, like the leaf crunching, actually, where your interaction with it, even in the real world, where, like, you could do anything you want with a leaf, but 99% of the time you're just going to step on it, where it's like, when you're interacting with a dog, you are petting it. So, like, you don't have to worry about having 10 different affordances. You just have to worry about petting it. So, like, it's an economical way of spreading the sense of immersion, you know, because you're just doing what you would be doing anyway with the same level of affordance that you'd have in the real world.
Right, like, what are you going to do with a dog besides pet it?
Right.
I guess you could I guess you could give it a treat.
Right. There's somewhere, going back to your leaf example, somewhere, most likely in Japan, Hideo Kojima is feverishly motion capturing someone crunching on a leaf right now. I guarantee you.
It's like, how come nobody does this? Yeah.
I will astound them with
my
new leaves.
I found a... Side note, I found a picture... from the Last of Us mocap session with a dog in a mocap suit.
Oh my god.
Everyone, holy cow. Strong recommend.
What other, well, first off, any other famous dogs that we should talk about, or famous dog examples?
Oh man, famous dogs.
Well, famous pettable dogs.
Isn't there a dog in Metal Gear Solid?
Yeah, D-Dog.
D-Dog. Can you pet D-Dog?
Hell yeah, you can pet D-Dog.
Hell yeah. Why else would D-Dog be there?
There is like a dedicated command too. Like if you get close enough to him, you like press the triangle button or something and he pets him. And then you could tell him to like go rip the throat out of somebody.
That's pretty cool. Yeah.
I think you can tell D-Dog to Fulton people actually if you like upgrade his gear.
Oh my God. Yes, please. There's the dog in the Far Cry series, Boomer.
Oh yeah.
And he'll go get you weapons and stuff, which is very satisfying.
I just like the idea of this dog carrying this like 50-pound grenade launcher or whatever. You're like,
fetch, Boomer. Hell yeah, dude. That'd be sweet. Now go get me a Klondike bar.
I think it's one of those things that is like it's a relatively harmless but funny thing that will become kind of like, I mean, this is like one of my examples, but like how fishing is in so many games.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, whether it's like Legend of Zelda or like, or just Hades, we were just playing it. There's fishing in Hades. Like it's one of those like relatively innocuous, but immersion helping mechanics that, you know, now has just become a thing. It's like a Wilhelm Scream type of thing. But for video games.
Would it undermine it for you, though, if they added a mechanic where, you know, petting the dog gave you an extra 10 hit points in the battle or something like that? Where, like, you were incentivized to pet the dog. Because you don't, correct me if I'm wrong, you do not want to be incentivized to pet the dog because the reality is you need no incentive to pet dogs, you know?
Well, then it just does become transactional. You know, it's like you shouldn't, the behavioral psychologists say that, like, you shouldn't, you should be careful about like paying yourself for your hobbies or something, or else then, you know, becomes a job. So it's like the minute you start getting, you know, trinkets or whatever for interacting with the dog, it's now just become another thing to check off versus a like purely play mechanic.
You know how when you pet animals, like people with pets live longer and like releases endorphins and stuff. Do you think there's a similar correlation between digital dogs? Like, am I literally being a happier person when I pet dogs in video games?
I mean, your avatar is. I don't know if you've truly transcended the silicon barrier, but if you have, tell me how.
I mean, I just wonder if there is a sort of like, you know, tickles the brain kind of thing for even digital dogs.
I mean,
maybe
this
even
makes,
VR.
That's a good point. I've never tried a dog petting simulator in VR, but for me, I think it's almost a mechanical thing, like for me, where it's just like, you know, once I understand whether or not, yeah, it's like, okay, yeah. I'm just going to go even again. I'm continuing to play Hades and it's just become one of my circuits inside of the House of Hades where
it's pet Cerberus.
Yeah, exactly. I start on the left. I make my way from like basically west to east in the house. And one of those stops is petting Cerberus.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's, you know, At a certain point, it ceases to like give you any new stuff. It's just like you're just petting him.
Yeah, I mean, I know in Spiritfarer, when you're hugging some of your friends who are all animals, one of which is a dog. So I guess in a way, you can pet the dog.
Is the dog like sentient? You know,
it's a sentient dog. Okay. Yeah. You hug the dog. You don't really pet the dog.
Okay, got it.
Actually, and weirdly enough, the dog doesn't want to be hugged until like near the end of the game. Really. Mm. Is when the dog is like really into the hugging.
You need to build up the social link.
Well, you can hug the dog. It's just always like taken by surprise. You know what I mean?
Oh,
I want the dog to say, hey, can you pet me now? Actually, that would be really weird.
Yeah, you'll get into weird furry territory at some point where it's
dangerous.
Like,
dangerous territory.
All right, so hit me with a couple. You should be able to blank the blank in a video game.
Okay. You should be able to honk the horn.
Oh.
I think if you have a game with a car in it, if you cannot just slam on that bad boy, and extra points if it plays like a mariachi song or something, you're wasting my time. You got to honk the horn. Now, thankfully, I think this is the norm in video games.
Yeah.
You can honk horns, but I have played some video games where, you know, even if you hop into a tank, if it doesn't have a horn, I'm not pleased.
I seem to remember the last Mario Kart game I played where if you didn't have an, I think it was maybe if you didn't have an item in your inventory, it would just activate the horn. And so you could just be honking at the starting gate waiting for it. So,
that is very good.
And so it was just like, I remember playing it online too, and everyone clued in on it. So as you were waiting for the race to start, everyone was like,
I think there is a GTA, maybe this is the norm for GTAs now, but when you honk the horn, people in front of you are more likely to get out of your way, which I also love because there's like a mechanical effectiveness to honking the horn.
Because you could, that's actually a very clever way of it kind of towing the line between something that is purely there for a mechanic versus, you know, just the play of it, because you could still honk it when no one's around. Like nothing's stopping you from doing that. Like, but there are certain things where you'd only ever do them in the context of getting some sort of mechanical reward.
I mean, this is the design slippery slope, right?
Yeah.
First, you're like, okay, first let's put in cars. Okay, now we got to put in honking. Well, what happens if the...
Right.
If you honk, do people get out of the way? They should get out of the way. Okay, they're pulling over to the side. Do they park? You know, like what happens next?
Do they put coins in the meter?
Like what happens if you give a mouse a cookie? You know, it's dangerous.
Okay, let me hit you with one.
Okay.
You should be able to flush a toilet if there's a toilet in the video game.
I was playing Phasmophobia the other night. Right, that ghost game that I talked about, which was a total side note, I've really kind of like soured on now, so sorry. I feel bad. Sorry.
Could you not flush the toilet? Is that what?
You can't flush the toilet. So you can turn on faucets, which is okay, great. Like you need to be able to work plumbing, I can think is the thing. But you could not flush the toilet, and I was very, very peeved.
Man, crazy. Well, I mean, early access, maybe they'll get there, you know?
That's true. Yeah, they'll patch it in later. That's like 2.0.
Plumbing fixtures in general, though, even something gross like in Dishonored or whatever, when you're turning on the water to like, eventually there you could theoretically spec your way into getting some sort of reward for that, but otherwise it's just a, you know, immersive sim trope. It feels like.
Well, how do you feel about like peeing generally though? Like, if there's a bathroom, should you be able to pee and or poop in it?
I'm trying to think of games where you can pee and poop.
I mean, Death Stranding. The ultimate pee and pooping game.
Where pee and poop is a core mechanic that you can then, you know, use for grenade purposes.
I mean, again, Kojima fell down that slippery slope real hard, which is actually the theme of the game. It's full circle with Kojima, you know?
It really is. I feel like the first time I saw like interactive toilets in a video game was maybe Duke Nukem.
Uh-huh.
Where you just, you know, are peeing or whatever and you can flush the toilet. Maybe GoldenEye had flushable toilets too, which was around a similar time.
Yeah, flushing, peeing, that's a good one. I mean, I feel like really it's the can I turn something on idea, right?
Right.
Like this is true of lights.
TVs, radios, whatever.
TVs, radios. Stovetops. Because the thing is, we live in a world surrounded by buttons, you know? And if there's a button, look, I'm going to push it, you know? I'm going to push that button.
For good or ill, that button is going to be pressed.
Okay, I have another one. Sitting down. So, like, there are a lot of games where there will be, like, a park bench. And I think if I can sit down and just, like, take in the sights, you know, relax, take a breather. I want that, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't know, like, can I? I don't think you can sit down on a park bench in Spider-Man and just take it, right? You know, but you should. I think you should, you know.
It's I remember in Journey, it was just kind of like a sitting mechanic, where you could just like,
or so in Hades, right? To your point about petting Cerberus, you cannot. I mean, besides the few times that you're prompted, you can't lie in your bed. You can't sit down on the couch. There's a comical excuse. It's like, oh, I'm so busy. I got to escape all the time or whatever dumb response it is. But I feel like you should be allowed to sit there. If I'm going to invest, you know, whatever gemstones into improving my bedroom suite, I want to be able to sit on my damn couch.
I wonder if there... I was thinking about that mechanic just recently where they did so many pieces of bespoke writing that was about not sitting down. I wonder if it would just turn into a joke at some point.
Where you're like, oh, because people are going to want to. And
you people are going to want to do it. And we're going to, because they could have very easily just not put the icon there, you know, only when it was narratively mandated. You know, they could have just not have the icon show up, but they have the icon show up every time. And even in chairs in like the lounge or in the hallways and stuff, there's always the prompt to rest. And Zag is always like, nah, I'm not tired.
You're like, why did you put that prompt in there then?
I mean, that's the thing. Like, it's a commitment to the narrative bit, you know, where it's like, it's...
I think it's an expectation that you should be able to sit on it. Right. And then someone was like, hey, how come I can't sit on it? And they go, oh, God, I guess let's just put it on a button where there's some narrative excuse.
Yeah, it's very strange. Here's one. You should be able to, if there is eating and drinking in a game, you should be able to get drunk.
Oh, yeah, this was one of my... I definitely agree on eating and drinking, getting wasted. Yeah, I mean, if there's booze, for sure, right? I mean, GTA does this better than anybody else.
Yeah. Where I you just get totally sloshed. Because they do a thing where, like, it gives you, like, the swimming, like, kind of the swimmy view of the world, and, you know, you can't control very well. I think Red Dead did a similar thing.
There's a great video where someone is wearing the drunk goggles and playing... GTA drunk, you know, the ones that they use to like teach high school students that drinking was bad or whatever.
Right.
Very satisfying.
Do you remember there was a drinking sequence in maybe all of them, but at least one of the Mass Effect games where you can just keep drinking as Shepard and she just starts like drunkenly dancing and stuff.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Because it would do a montage. It'd be like a drunk montage. And you would wake up the next day. What a great series that game was. That's a very good one. Okay. Here's one more that I just thought of actually now. If there's a mirror, I should be able to check myself out.
Man, it's like a mechanically dense, a computationally expensive request from George. Well,
I especially like games when you get like a haircut or you change your style and you're looking at yourself in a mirror. Right. And then there's an animation right before you leave where you're just like, you know, finger guns. And you're like, yeah, looking good. You know, and then you peace out. Even if your character is hideous, I want a sense that my character is like, yeah, I'm into it.
I feel like that's one of those things that will actually be a thing in this upcoming console generation. Because I feel like we, from what little I know, it's kind of a pain in the ass to have like true mirrors in a video game.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I feel like maybe some of the stuff that, you know, can be done with the newer hardware could help this.
I mean, it's in a way... Look, checking yourself out in the mirror, petting dogs, like all of those are a way for the game to recognize that, like, to be self-aware, you know, that you're in it, you're here, you're just having a good old time.
Yeah. Let me hit you with a meta one.
Okay.
If there's a menu in the game, you should be able to wrap around to it. Like if you're at the bottom, you should be able to wrap around to the top by pressing down. Yeah.
God, the amount of, I mean, we could do a whole podcast just about shitty UI and being mad about things like that. That's for sure. Okay, what about this?
And it's surprising the number that you can't, though. I'm always surprised when I reach something and like I'm trying to key in something in that
In the
on-screen keyboard and I have to like, I can't wrap around to the other side.
How do you feel about if there's music in a game, like bespoke music, you need to be able to replay it? Like Hades has this as well. You have to unlock the songs. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But like a way of listening to the soundtrack within the fiction of the world that you're in.
It's such like an Final old Fantasy. School thing too. You know, like a jukebox mechanic, you know, it feels like that stuff is like from an older era that maybe is coming back now, you know?
I mean, if you're a composer for a video game or even just an audio designer, I feel like you want that, right? Like you want people to be able to opt in and listen because no one's going to buy your CD, you know? Like, people listen to things on Spotify and stuff, but...
Yeah, you're going to get, like, half a cent per play of that thing. Yeah.
I mean, and you look at some of the ways that games integrate them. The Final Fantasy VII Remake is a great example. Like, that's actually very robust. It feels special when you're like, oh, I found a track, and then you can hang out and you can change the tunes. And I mean, and that has gone back in JRPGs for a very long time, where you could just listen to the whole game as though it were an album. You know, on your downtime.
Right. Yeah. I like the diegetic effect, like that you put it, where you have to be able, there should be some sort of excuse in game, you know, to listen to it.
Yep.
All right. Any other, you should be able to blank in a blank? over here, like mundane tasks, sleep in a bed.
Sleep in a blank in a blank. That's good. Poop in the woods. We have most of the mundane things. Eating, drinking, pooping, peeing, petting dogs, honking your horn.
That's the secret of a happy, healthy life.
Just do the mundane, like find joy in the mundane things is what we're trying to say, you know?
All right, I guess we will leave it there. Experiencepoints@gmail.com is our email address.
Experiencepoints.net is our website. You can go to your podcasts and you can listen to this podcast, any of the old episodes. It's almost as good as petting a dog.
Until next time, I will say thanks everyone for listening, because it is a nice outlet, I will say.
Yes.
Even when we're feeling kind of weird and off kilter, it's a nice anchor to have.
Yes, we hope everyone is handling this Wednesday well. Yeah, this week generally. I hope we are too.
Stay safe out there, and just I hope everyone is doing well. That's what I will say. All right, everyone, thanks so much for listening, and we will talk to you next week.
Ciao. Every time we